is your praise?
I'm not going to go into the details. Let's just say that justice has been served, and I praise God that we do not have to go to court, and Amethyst does not have to face a prosecutor.
Well, good. Well, amen. Always good when you can avoid court. Jerry?
Had a super good week at work.
Awesome.
Probably right up against, if not probably the best week.
I actually made some money this week, huh? Well, cool.
Instead of just working for nothing, I actually made some money.
There you go. Amen. Well, there's a text from Clarissa. Not 100%, but definitely feeling better this morning. Yeah, she was doing horrible. Amen.
I have a praise.
What's your praise? Yeah, amen.
Hiding behind the wall.
Hi. Gilbert, what's your praise?
Well, I praise the Lord for my safe journey to Chicago and back, for one. And it appears I lived there for 18 years. But all the establishments that where I was brought up as a kid, you know, are all gone with the university on top of it now. And then even the high school, they replaced it with a new high school. So everything was new, and I had 10 days of nonstop activities. It has grown in many ways. I even got to see the Trump building, of all things.
The Trump building?
Yes, he's got a skyscraper in downtown, right in the heart by the river of downtown Chicago.
And so
I praise the Lord for everything, those 10 days and my journey to and fro, safety, and my continuums. I'll probably be here a couple of weeks, and then I'll venture out again, this time to Mexico, but it's going to be about 3 to 4 months.
You're a traveling man.
The Lord has that.
Yeah, well, amen.
And I praise Him to give me a fullness of it on top of it.
Amen. Amen. All right, there's Bubba. Josh, what's your praise?
I just want to praise the Lord for bringing people in and out of my life. The saga continues. Every time I need somebody or start struggling somewhere, God puts someone in my life, fixes the problem.
Amen.
So I just want to praise Him for that.
What about the out part?
Same way. Every time there's a problem, I don't even know it's there. So He takes them out, and I realize there was a problem.
Yeah, there you go. You know, God giveth and God taketh away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Vicki, what's your praise?
We had sent out a text requesting prayer for Bubba's son Brandon. Turned out he had shingles.
And
he has been miserable for the last week, but today, finally, he can actually touch his own skin without being in absolute pain.
Nice, heading for work.
And he's had to go to work tomorrow. He's excited because he hasn't left the house in a week and a half.
There you go.
I haven't actually succumbed to that stuff yet. I've heard all kinds of tales about shingles. All right. So who else? Praises. Jack.
Good week. I also had a good week at work. And when I asked off for the conference, I actually now get a few days off of work this week.
Do you? This week? I mean, if we had a spot on the boat, you'd probably want to fish.
I heard that is a yes.
Amen. I know you liked it, and we're going to take that one out.
We'll see. All right. Okay, who else? Glenda.
I praise the Lord for Miss Mary. She has just been an asset this week for me, and also Harley. Done wonders, and my son.
Heard you had a little wallpaper adventure. Heard you had a wallpaper adventure.
We like one more wall. Done. She was wonderful.
And what did you say about your son?
He lost in the finals last night up in somewhere.
That was a praise?
That was a praise. It was a praise that he made it through to the finals. So when they get there, they win something. But he didn't win the race.
Well, no wrecks.
16, that's pretty good to be in the top two.
You wouldn't think it, just two guys just going in a straight line for an eighth or a quarter mile would be all that dangerous.
Oh, yeah. I just pray for safety. I never pray he wins. Never.
All right. We're still taking praises. There's another one right there. So, all right. Victoria, you and then Lisa.
So I had to switch my OBs last week, which is scary. Because I only have a couple weeks left, but he's a lot better. I really like this doctor a lot more. So.
Amen. Yes. Lisa, what's your praise?
I have several. I got to go to Austin and get Gavin from New York and at the airport. And
he's grown up, too.
He has grown up. You met Mark a long time ago. He had orange hair, too. When it was orange. His is getting darker. But and we stayed at my sister's, and his mom stayed at my sister's, and we played board games, and we went to Urban Air, and they went bowling, and we just did a whole lot of fun stuff and got to do something. I realized the other day when I stayed late at Ladies Home Team that Glenda and a couple of other ladies and I were talking about they're all realtors. They were talking about clients that they knew had in common and praying for different ones, and like Dr. Markham that I used to go to and stuff like that. And I realized that since my mom passed in 06, I have not had anybody to reminisce with about that kind of thing. And there's value in that. It really put something in me that I've been missing for a long time. So we got to do that this week at my sister's too. It was a blessing.
What she's saying is that she and I run out of stuff to talk about, so she finds somebody else with a lot of stuff to talk about. Bob, what's your praise?
My wife is with me today in Sunday school, and I'm so happy about that. Oh, yeah. So, it was raining just as we come in. It's just a very light mist. By the time we got here, the scooter was dry, and we didn't have any problems. So.
Amen. Little rain, no big deal. Anybody else? Victoria?
I have one more. I'm sorry. It's still baby related. The COVID restrictions on the hospital that I'm going to now are more lax than the ones before, so my mom can be in there.
Amen.
That's
all right. Cool.
She was allowed before, but now she'll have her angina.
Wow, that's a really big praise for mom, especially. Well, for you too, but yeah, that's good. We have four out with COVID. They've all almost completely recovered, but they're not here yet, so it's all good. We have several others that are out with this. It's probably this RSV thing that's the kids get it and they go give it to their parents, and then, you know, or. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and if I was, I wouldn't be smart enough to know anyway. There's just too much out there to know, and they just don't know any better than we do. But everybody's getting really well. I got a text from Clarissa to add to the praise that she's not 100%, but feels much better this morning than she's been all week long. She's been sick all week. Calissa's been sick all week. Caleb, the one that seemed to start it, the little guy, seems to be much better now. So, and James didn't catch it, apparently. So that he's like Superman or something. I don't know what he's eating, but he just doesn't seem to get sick. So, Sherry?
Also, Amy asked me to tell everybody thanks for the prayers that she's been
getting. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Yeah, Juliana.
So Max is going to be going away in the next 2 weeks. He has to drive to Louisiana for just for his qualifications, for the things that he has to learn.
Qualifications?
Yeah. It's like big tests and stuff that he has to do for him to advance in the next step of his career. So it's just saying travels for him to get there and come back. And then he does well.
Amen. They make you know stuff to drive one of those big boats. Well, she's not actually driving it, but probably does some of the time. I don't know. But there's a lot going on out there. I've been looking for him to talk to him. I wanted to know how the 50 cal exercise went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could have put one on your boat.
Huh? Yeah. they went out and they had their 50 caliber machine gun re-qualifications. And, yeah, recertifications, and I assume that all went well. But
oh, yeah, he had fun.
Yeah, I know he's going to have fun. I was jealous. That would have been cool, especially out there in the middle of the ocean. You can just, you can just let her go.
Let's see if the Coast Guard needs any really good offshore fishing.
Yeah, they probably don't even like fish anymore. I'm not sure. All right, you ready? Let's go to Proverbs 23. Actually, we're up into 24 today, but let me just ask you, most of you here this morning have been in here for a long time now. Some are fairly new. Bob's, you know, not it's new, but we've been in Proverbs for, we're in our third year getting this far into Proverbs. We've been doing an exhaustive study in Proverbs, trying to learn everything that we can. What has Proverbs done to change your life?
Mature in wisdom.
Okay. All right. Is there a difference now from when you first started learning all the stuff out of Proverbs?
Yes.
Big difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when God says get wisdom, it's number one, it's the main thing. It's gonna make all the difference. You know, sometimes you'd think we'd get more excited about it. We don't have a verse yet. We'll get to it. What we were reading and studying last week, actually last 2 weeks, started in verse number in chapter 23 with a dad, a father. It doesn't say which dad. It doesn't say if this was David and Solomon or Solomon and Rehoboam. I don't think it was Solomon and Rehoboam, because if it was, he sure didn't pay attention. It's a dad, and this dad is talking to his son, and he's basically telling his son everything that he needs to avoid in life, and you know the main things he needs to watch out for, and telling him to study and apply himself to gaining wisdom. And, I mean, all the way through this, it starts in chapter 23, verse 15, with him telling his son that, son, if your heart turns out wise, then it's going to make my heart rejoice. He says, my reins, which means my deepest emotions, shall rejoice when your lips speak right things. And then he says, don't envy sinners. And he starts warning him. He starts instructing him. Jack and Abby, you guys that are in here from the youth group or younger ones today, when you read something like this from Proverbs, you need to become that young man or that young person, that young woman that dad is talking to. He says, have you ever envied sinners? Yeah, you've seen the other kids and what they're doing and, you know, how cool they think it is and seem to love it, you know. But this wiser than anybody else on the planet is looking you in the eye and says, don't let your heart envy sinners. Don't let it happen. Be thou in fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end. What they're doing is going to come to an end, and it's not going to be pretty. And thine expectations shall not be cut off. He said, you listen to the Lord, and the good things that you can expect from listening to God are not going to be cut off, like theirs will be. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Not a way, the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. The terms that are being used here are terms that if you found synonyms today, it would be talking about partying. It'd be talking about going out drinking and eating and riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Do you know how condemning the Bible is about not being able to get up in the morning?
Face the lion outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. Teenagers are the hardest people in the world to get out of bed. I was. You probably were. Gavin is. I'll tell you that right now. Well, yeah, you can't stay up late and do that. You got it. You're going to have to figure it out. Wisdom's going to teach you to go to bed and get some rest so you'll be able to do what you need to do. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. God gives you a mom and dad, and sometimes they're not what they ought to be. Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is they're never all they could be or should be. But one thing you'll find in a father and mother in most cases, and that is that God gives them a love for you, and they care about what's going to happen to you. Buy the truth and sell it not. What's that mean? Where are you going to find the truth?
Scripture.
Yeah. Is the world lying to you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff you see the sinners envy that you've been envying doing, they're saying, oh, this is cool. This is where it's at. This is it. This is what you want. No, it's not. They're lying.
I find it interesting. You make it like a transaction. Buy it and don't sell it.
Yeah. Right? Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't let anybody talk you out of what's right. Because they will try.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on. We'll take you under our wing. They'll take you under. And then this goes all the way on. And then he talks about loose women. And he talks about, and by the way, girls, it says she lieth in wait as for a prey. One of the things that I have found over pastoring over for a lot of years and just over paying attention is that the male predators are all over the place. In school. Most of our schoolgirls lose their virginity to a male predator in the school who does nothing but prey on those that he knows how to do it and how to get it done when they don't. And it's an absolute, that'll be took out and shot. But it's going on all over the place. If it's not rape when they're both under 18. So the law says. But let me tell you something. The warning against a woman lying in wait for a guy is that river flows both ways. Seriously. Then he talks about alcohol. Does the Bible condemn alcohol?
No.
No. But it sure enough condemns the misuse of it. Anything that alters your ability to think could be put in this category. And there's sure a lot more things in that category today than there's ever been before. I mean, they're all the time inventing new illegal substances and some that aren't illegal that should be. It will make you do things that you're going to be sorry for. And verse 35 even talks about the addiction that comes with it. The guy gets drunk. He goes through all the things that does to harm you. And in verse 35, he's warning his son. He says, and the guy says, they have stricken me. What's that mean? They've beaten me. I got beat up, and I was not sick. They've beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And go right back to it. Do all that suffering, and go right back and do it again. And again, and again, and again. That's just not very smart, is it? It just doesn't make sense. Lisa?
Can we not skip verse 31? That's one of my favorites.
Well, we actually talked about that one last week. Verse 31 is one of the favorite scriptures of the legalists out there in our religious world. There are a lot of people that tell you that alcohol is sinful, stay away from it. But the Bible says that there's nothing that is sin in itself. It's not. Misuse is. And drinking, when it's not harmful to you, but it's harmful to others, as an example, is also sin. And you need to stay away from it. So, Coke Zero is probably better than beer.
31 is the one that says you've had too much when the wine's moving.
Yeah. It says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes. Well, that sounds like a drunk. if you want to be politically correct, an alcoholic, okay? I heard once that a difference between a drunk and an alcoholic was a drunk didn't have to go to all those old meetings. That was it. Otherwise, they were the same. So, anyway, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. And then it says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. And that is not a don't ever go near wine. It means you look in the cup and it's moving.
You've way passed
where you should be. It's, go ahead.
Well, it does say that there is a place for wine and strong drink, and that's for those that are ready to perish and that be of heavy hearts, to forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. But it's not for rulers and kings and princes.
Yeah. Well, and that doesn't condone it as a good thing either. There's lots of other things you should do when your heart's heavy, like talk to the Lord about it. But anyway, this thing goes all the way through down till verse 14 of the next entire chapter. You know, there weren't chapter breaks and verse numbers on this when it was written. Don't be envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. So how many times has it been said, well, he's a good guy, he just got in with the wrong crowd?
Yeah, okay. Justifying.
How do you think good guys turned into bad guys? Well, they got into the wrong crowd. What did he do that was bad? He got into the wrong crowd. There is a right crowd. You're in it now. Or one of them. There's several right crowds, actually. He tells him to get an education. Did you know that wisdom will tell you to get an education? Doesn't tell you to go into student loan debt for it, but it tells you to get an education. He says, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. He says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all the precious and pleasant riches. All those things that you want in life, they're going to come as a result of knowledge and wisdom. You say, well, I thought that was because of hard work. Poorest people in the world work harder than everybody else. Go ask the Vietnamese rice farmer how hard he works and what he has to show for it. Wisdom is what fills the house with precious things. He says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war. And that's not talking about just a government going to war. You're going to have battles. You're going to have to fight. There's lots of battles in life you're going to have to deal with. You just went through one with Amy.
Sure did.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's talking about. And in multitude of counselors, there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Gary.
Well, we went a little too fast from the question. The multitude of counselors, there is safety. What exactly does that mean? It sounds like you should draw wisdom from wise people.
Yeah, but not just one. Multitude of counselors. Yeah, seek wisdom about what you're going to have to deal with, especially if it's a battle, making war, a business deal, a business opportunity that you're not sure about or whatever.
Court, the attorneys and the government and all that.
Why do you need to talk to a multitude of counselors instead of just one wise person that you know? Vicki?
Well, you may need advice on several different fronts. And when you go to battle, you have to be prepared on all sides, and you need to know who's the best at each of what they do.
So yeah.
Advice, you might not want to go to a person who's, you know, if you need finance advice, you want to go to a person who has wise financial knowledge, and that might not be the same person that has, you know, wise knowledge about another subject.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good picture of it right there. It goes on down, and it doesn't end until verse number 14. So shall the knowledge of thy wisdom be unto thy soul. And he's comparing it to eating honey. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste.
So is that the Father still speaking?
That's the Father still speaking. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Because it's down in 21 again as well.
Yeah. And you get down here, and so shall the knowledge of thy wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. And, of course, we found that was back in verse 18 of the previous chapter. The things that you can expect because of God's promises, because of the consequences, good consequences of wisdom, they're not going to be cut off. You're going to see it. Then he kind of switches gears here into another area, although, as 21, he's right back and talking to the son again. So this thing it just kind of keeps going. We'll have to figure out if it actually changes gears to another scenario other than this parental figure teaching his child.
But isn't that what God does? He's our parent.
And that's just it. It's when you see my son here, you really need to put your name there because this is for you. And this is going to work. Everything. I'm 71 years old. I'm younger than Cecil, it's nice to have someone here that I'm younger than. But and I guarantee you he could testify the same thing. Every single thing in the Word of God, taken in context, that God has promised to do in my life. And there are bunches. I mean, mountains of it. Every single thing he promised, he has fulfilled. My expectation has never been cut off when it comes to trusting God to do what he said in his word. A lot of people aren't very excited about taking God's promises to heart. A lot of people don't really know what God has promised and what he hasn't. A lot of people you'll hear them say, as a matter of fact, I just heard my sister texted me this yesterday, and I heard the same thing again. Well, I'm just trusting God that, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you can't trust God unless he's promised something. And you can't just make it up and say, I'm trusting you for this, God, when he didn't promise it. That's called being presumptuous instead of faith. You know, so why do you think that so often we don't get serious about and specific about these promises from God?
They don't believe in them.
I don't know.
They don't believe. They don't know. I don't think I can find a scripture for this, but it's really something to think about. I think that a lot of us believers, that we don't get a hold of God's promises and hang on to them and operate according to them because we don't think we're worthy of them.
Well, maybe we don't think we're worthy of them because we know what we just thought 5 minutes ago.
Well, exactly. That's the point. I mean, that's the whole point. Yeah, I know God's promised to do this, but that's probably for those good folks out there that don't have these thoughts like I do and didn't do what I did yesterday, and nothing came out of their mouth like what came out of mine. And you know how when we observe the Lord's Supper, we talk about the New Testament being a blood covenant? One of the things about a blood covenant is that there are two parties involved, but there is one party responsible for the keeping of that covenant. and that party is God. I found that God keeps his word whether you do or not.
Amen. That's right.
No, I'm not saying it's okay just to do whatever you feel like and then, you know, trust God to do what he said anyway. But what I am saying is that God is faithful. And his faithfulness doesn't depend on me.
That's right.
And he does what he says he will do, regardless. That's just something about his character that I think ought to be recognized and applauded, because God does what he says he'll do, and he is absolutely faithful in everything. So it's just what a God we serve. He gets down in 15 and he says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place." This dad starts talking to or about the wicked. He's actually making this direction specifically against those who are your enemies. Have you ever had somebody that in your life as a Christian and you it was very obvious they were your enemy? That's just sad, you know. But the wisdom, God himself, he's telling the wicked man to do not lay wait against the dwelling of the righteous. It's all talking about his house. It says, and spoil not his resting place. Have you ever been burglarized? Oh, man, you talk about traumatic and creating anger. I mean, it hadn't happened in a long time, thankfully, but I remember what it was like. And God is telling those who would do that, don't do it. Not against my children. Who are the righteous in Proverbs? Saved people. People that know the Lord. He says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. And that's not talking about just mess it up. That's talking about taking what is his. For a just man falleth seven times and rise up again, and shall rise up again. And the nice thing about it, if that does happen to you, and there's different ways it can happen. You can be, you can lose money on lots of things, a house, a car, a boat, or whatever, and you'll come back from it because the Lord is your supply, not your own,
not yourself,
your own ability to do whatever. But you need to know the just man falls and he seven times and he rises up again. And that doesn't mean just seven or only seven or that's a magic number, but it just means it's a big enough number to know that he's going to be able to come back from it. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. What you're sowing whenever you're spoiling the righteous, it's coming back to bite you. You're going to pay. And then he tells the righteous, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth.
Are you sure that's a good translation?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Because verse 18 makes it very clear what he's talking about. Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. If he turns away his wrath from him, where's he going to turn it? Yeah. Yeah. So, Jerry, when the next election comes around, and it does go our way, if it does, which I'm not sure it will, but if it does, we can rejoice in a victory, but we don't get to rejoice at the downfall of the enemy.
Yeah, that's so hard. Well, now as far as that specifically, all I want to do is win. I don't care about them losing.
Oh, there you go. I hear you.
I like America's strong, godly.
It'd be good.
That is my desire.
Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. We've been told that about 3-4 times, maybe more, and it just this last little bit here in Proverbs. There must be something in our, some kind of fault in, that's prevalent in us to be envious of wicked people. evil men.
Have you ever seen that depiction of where they have God here at the light and they have the devil over here and you've got man running towards the devil?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Adam started that. But not, you know. Not
well, him. Actually, if you according to Adam, Eve started it. But.
Well.
That's not anyway. And he was there, actually, so.
Yeah,
he
said no.
All right. That's all he warned us about. Not new.
For he said, fret not thyself because of evil men. Do not envy the wicked. Neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. What's that mean?
It means God will take care of us.
How's he going to take care of the wicked? No. Yeah, well, it says his candle shall be put out. What's that mean?
Cut him out. Put him in.
It means he's out of here. Yeah. Yeah. Death. Yeah. That's what it is. It's a death sentence. And then verse 21 we'll pick up next week. Fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. We'll, maybe you can figure that out by next week.
So in accordance with what Jerry was talking about, there's a lot of evil men whose candles would be put out.
It's not yet, but it's coming. There's some people out there that when you hear some of the things that are coming out of their mouth, I mean, in public, on the news, politically, it's most people don't even know that it's what they're saying is evil. They don't. I mean, the government this week was colluding with Facebook to eliminate anybody that had a differing opinion over COVID vaccination. What happened to free speech?
Yeah, trying to take it away.
What's happening to it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time.
Before you go, Pastor, listen to this one before you go.
All right.
In verse 18, it said, "Lest the Lord see it, and he's displease him, and he turn away his rod from him." And hear what it says in Malachi chapter 3:16. What's going on right now with us praising the Lord and talking? Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that taught upon his name. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
They're here gathering.
A book of remembrance.
He's listening and hearing everything, and he wrote a book.
Yeah.
Remember, wow.
That's why I keep telling you that the praises are the most important part of what we do here.
Yeah.
That's the part Jesus gets.
That's right.
And is this about us or about him?
Not yet.
was it you that said that praise is a sacrifice?
Is a what?
I heard the praise is a sacrifice. It,
well, that's what the Bible says. Right. Offer the sacrifice of praise.
Sacrifice of praise, right.
Yeah, Hebrews. Yeah, definitely. It is a sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice. It's a little different than some others because, well, I sort of say it doesn't cost you anything, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it costs you to praise the Lord, to give credit to God. Instead of letting somebody else take it. If it was just people out there you didn't know, it'd be one thing, but it's not.